Welcome to the ASHP Official Podcast, your guide to issues related to medication use, public health, and the profession of pharmacy.
Thank you for joining us for the ASHP Advocating for Impact podcast, where every episode covers a policy issue impacting the practice of pharmacy. We'll do our best to translate the policy and the politics to help you understand how these issues affect your practice and your profession. I'm Tom Krause. I'll be your host for today's episode. With me today is Jalan Schulte-Wall, ASHP's Senior Director of Health and Regulatory Policy. Jalan, let's get started with today's topic, which is what's happening with CMS audits of pharmacy residency programs. And just to get folks oriented, can you just share a recap of what's been going on and with regard to CMS audits?
Yeah, so folks may have heard about this before, and that's because we started seeing these problems crop up in late 2018, early 2019. And initially, we thought we were just seeing some auditor misbehavior or, you know, misunderstanding of what the regulations say. But in fact, what we were seeing was a new set of instructions to auditors from CMS that did not include guidance to programs themselves, but just to the auditors that changed the way that auditors were approaching pharmacy residency program audits. And not just pharmacy residency programs, but allied health residencies in general. These are separate from medical residencies. They also include like chaplaincy programs and nursing residencies. So it's not just pharmacy. It's worth noting that this wasn't sort of like an organized hit on pharmacy residency programs. But what we're seeing in general and what we have been seeing over time since 2019 is that the auditors are really focused on this element of direct control of programs having hospitals having direct control of the programs. And in previous years, when you look at the regulations, the assumption is absent evidence to the contrary, per the regulatory language, the hospital is the operator of the program. With the new transmittal, auditors were inclined to take a closer look at programs, but they were interpreting CMS's guidance to mean that if there was any evidence at all that a program was not operated by the hospital or the hospital didn't maintain some sort of direct control over every single aspect of the program, that they could disallow the entire program. Where this gets complicated is when you have a program in a hospital that is part of a larger health system. So for instance, we were seeing disallowances for things like the health system's name and marketing materials, or the health system CEO or CPO signing off on a pharmacy completion certificate. You know, things that are really minimal and have nothing to do with the educational process. The other place we were seeing a lot of concern about direct control was around shared service models. So things like shared HR. And this was obviously a bigger issue when you were part of a health system, because it makes sense. The whole point of shared service models is that you are increasing efficiency. So you're not going to have a separate HR system just for your tiny little allied health residency programs. And then finally, the other kind of troubling area is in situations where pharmacy residency programs have arrangements with pharmacy schools. And a lot of these are longstanding arrangements where the pharmacy school is providing preceptors or is providing some general education within the pharmacy residency program, but is not necessarily responsible for the training associated with the program. So there are a lot of different ways to do this. And one of the hardest parts of kind of approaching how to address this with CMS is that every single program is structured slightly differently. So there's no easy quick fix for it. And we have been in concert with other organizations too, but mostly just with ASHP, we have been talking to CMS about this issue since it cropped up. We've been pushing at the agency. We've had meetings. We most recently sent a letter to Secretary Becerra for HHS and then Administrator Brooks LaSure for CMS to ask for a meeting on this. But that hasn't kept us from pushing in other directions too. So we also had a lot of Hill meetings on this. We've been working with our state affiliates to try to get them to do some push with their legislators and also with individual health systems in some cases to have conversations with their legislators. So this is a longstanding issue, and we're trying to kind of push it back to the fore because it kind of fell back a little during COVID, but now we're starting to see audits tick up again.
And I am confident that we will get some guidance out of CMS eventually. And just so members have an understanding of how this kind of sits in our advocacy priorities, this is among our top priorities. I can say that our CEO, Dr. Abramowitz, and I personally spoke to the Secretary of HHS and the CMS administrator at the White House about this very issue and saying this needs to get addressed, and it is a problem. So it is being elevated literally as high as we can go in the government. We still need to continue to push them. And of course, until we get that guidance, residency programs are sort of left trying to figure this out. So Jillian, what can they do to protect themselves until we get some meaningful guidance from the agency?
Yeah. So, I mean, your point is well taken. One is that the residency programs don't necessarily know how to respond, but we as ASHP are sort of in a similar position because we are all that we have to go on in terms of how to determine compliance are the regulations, which CMS is insisting have not changed, even though they're theoretically like reinterpreting the regulations through audits, which is not the legal process for changing regulations, just FYI. So that in and of itself is a problem. And we have actually seen litigation go through all the way through, and we saw a hospital win on an audit like this, where the court said that CMS had overstepped and they were misinterpreting and misapplying the regulations. But that doesn't solve our problem again, because every program is different. So kind of the first thing programs need to do is, whether or not you've had an audit recently, whether you've had clean audits your entire existence, you do need to take a step back and look at your entire program from start to finish. And that means looking through all of your materials, your marketing materials, looking at and reviewing how you pay your preceptors, who your preceptors are. If they are employed by somebody other than the hospital, that is going to be a red flag to auditors. There are different ways to handle that, but it needs to be addressed in a way that is going to create a paper trail. The goal here at the end of the day, when you're looking at how your residency program is constructed, is to have a paper trail that says to auditors and demonstrates to auditors, my program is controlled from start to finish, all things, all the time, by the hospital. Nobody else has control. Even if you have a situation where you may have a rotation offsite, and that is, again, one of those issues that's been cropping up. And there are open questions, because again, we don't have guidance from CMS. We're just basing our assumption that if you carve out costs associated with a rotation site from your CMS cost report, and your request for that money from CMS for your program, that they cannot disallow. But we don't know that that's necessarily the case, because again, this is just based on our interpretation and then what we're seeing in audits as they're being brought to us. And we don't see every audit. We only see the ones that members bring to us. So there are just not a whole lot of perfect fixes for this, but the best case scenario is that you're prepared, so that you've taken a look at what you've got. We've developed a toolkit that gives some ideas about compliance and then preparing for an audit. There are also some documents that we've found very helpful for programs that we've been working with one-on-one as they go through audit. They include the auditor transmittal. So this is what CMS said to auditors that kickstarted this whole issue. They are inclusive of this frequently asked questions document that ASHP actually drafted. So one of the things we did initially was meet with CMS and say, this is our understanding of how the regulations should be applied. And then to help the agency out, we went ahead and drafted an FAQ for them and said, look, you can now adapt this. We've done some of your work for you. And they didn't opt to do that, but we do have the FAQ, and we have the, oddly enough, the email trail between me and Tom and CMS, kind of, you know, really memorializing that this FAQ did evolve out of our discussion with their Part B staff. So it's, again, like not a perfect fix for anything right now, but it is a place to get started. And the other thing I really want to emphasize is that as soon as your program is going to be audited, as soon as you think you might run into trouble, let ASHP know, because we can kind of help you navigate some of it. And we have seen programs reverse audit findings that auditors were thinking they were going to raise before they get to CMS, because once those findings are submitted, it is very hard to roll it back absent litigation.
Yeah. And the other thing that we should just very clearly say is you should also talk to your legal counsel. Yeah. What we can provide is guidance based on experience and what we've seen, but it is not legal advice. And you really need to consult your own legal counsel to help manage this process. But Jillian, based on what we do know about prior audits, if a program is in that circumstance where they are being audited by the CMS regional contractor in their area, what should they do?
I mean, our preferred first step is for you to let ASHP know. The second thing you need to do is loop in your legal and your finance teams. Because one of the other things we've heard is that in some cases, finance has known for a while that there were going to be audit issues potentially around the allied health residency programs, but that information somehow didn't make it to the residency program directors. So then they're caught off guard when all of a sudden they have adverse audit findings. And I think the other kind of key concern folks have is that if you have an audit finding for, say, 2018, that doesn't prevent CMS from going back and finding the same problem for, you know, a 3-year look back period, or moving forward, if you haven't fixed it, you're still potentially at risk. So the key thing there is to get everybody at the hospital kind of engaged immediately, so there aren't any surprises. And then, as I said, you know, you want to get your paper trail together. Make sure you have every piece of documentation you can get your hands on about how you pay your residents, how you pay your preceptors, how time is accounted for, how you as the program maintain control. I mean, that is kind of the key metric that CMS is looking at. And fortunately, it's a very subjective metric. The plus side of that is there is wiggle room with auditors. So the audits are generally, from what we understand, a conversation between the auditee and the auditor. And so there is some space to say, look, you're telling me as the auditor that I am doing this wrong and that I cannot have like HR that comes through the health system. Tell me as the auditor, where cite to this, exactly where you found it in the transmittal, where you found it in the regs. And sometimes when you push back that way, it forces the auditors to say, you know, I can't cite to that. And there is the benefit to having some flexibility that way. Although ideally, in an ideal world, hopefully, I think Tom is right, I think we will get there. We will have clearer requirements moving forward, so nobody has to play this guessing game anymore.
And I just want to emphasize that this will go much smoother if you think about it in advance, right? If you can, as Jillian was saying, have that documentation in place, you've thought about the payment processes you use, you've thought about your marketing materials, and do they sort of emphasize that relationship with the health system, or do they really focus on the hospital itself and that residency experience? You know, those kinds of things, you can't change that when it's audit time. So you've got to be ahead of that. And then as Jillian's saying, it is a conversation. It is a demonstration. Can we tell a compelling story about how our residency program is controlled by the RPD and is clearly in control and not being influenced by a school of pharmacy or the broader health system? The auditors don't have something that they're going to point to, right? They don't have anything that says, if you have a shared HR system, that's a violation. They're sort of doing their best also to interpret what does CMS mean when they say, look for any indicia that someone else is controlling the program, and they're pointing to that. That might not actually stand up. And in fact, there have been pharmacy residency programs that have litigated and won against CMS and its auditors when they say, look, this is not kind of clearly spelled out. We do maintain control. So the more that you can kind of share and demonstrate that a genuine intent for the hospital to be in control, the better off you're going to be. So with that, you know, please do look at ASHP's advocacy website. You'll see links to the toolkit that Jillian was describing that can help you plan in advance on how to protect your residency program, as well as how to respond when you are in an audit situation. Now, Jillian, getting past that audit and talking about advocacy, we talked about some of the conversations we've been having with CMS. What are the next steps in advocacy, and what can members do?
Yeah, so I mean, this is such a high priority for us, as Tom said earlier. We just had a meeting today with our liaison for CMS, and by us, I mean the pharmacy organizations had our first meeting with him. And the first thing I said to him was that this is a key priority for ASHP, and that we really want CMS to work at resolving this. So we haven't stopped pushing on the agency, but one of the things we found helpful is for, to the extent you can, to make your GR team, your hospital GR team, aware of this so that they can work their relationships with your legislators to push us. Because we've had letters come from the Hill. We've had several Senate offices actually reach out to CMS directly to ask what they were doing to address this problem. And they received very standard sort of brush-off-y responses back from the agency. And I am not a Hill person, but I can tell you that one of the easiest ways to irritate a legislator is to essentially brush off their request for information. And an irritated legislator is probably one that's going to be more likely to continue to push back on the agency. The other thing I would note is this is one of those issues where it's such a clear, it is possibly the clearest example of agency overreach I've ever seen in my career thus far. And I, you know, on both sides of the aisle, there are good arguments for why this is a problem. So you don't have some of the like small P politics that you might have in other issues. So I would really also recommend that you talk to us if you need talking points, to talk to your legislators directly. This is something we've brought up in Policy Week every year since it started. We have existing kind of fact sheets and things we can help you with. We can help you with talking points to the extent if you want to, you know, write a letter to your legislator directly to explain what this means to your hospital. And again, we would suggest you run this through your GR team. But these are all things you can also do as a private constituent.
Yeah. And it's interesting because when we speak to members of Congress about this, they don't know the details of the pharmacy residency program, and they don't know exactly how the audits work, but they understand at a fundamental level, wait, so the agency is trying to hold residency programs to some standard, they're removing funding for several years, but they haven't told you how to comply. That is just fundamentally unfair. And at that level, members of Congress get it. So like complaining to members of Congress, having your GR team say, hey, this is fundamentally unfair. We are being held to some standard that we cannot identify. And it seems like the auditors are making this up as they go. If your government relations team says that is happening and jeopardizing funding for a residency program in a Congress member's district, it will get their attention. So, you know, please have the conversation, and it can be just that simple. You don't have to get into a ton of details. It is as simple as we are being held to some standard that we cannot identify. Unlike some other advocacy areas where we give very detailed talking points and we have a very specific legislative proposal, this is like just a fundamental fairness issue. We want members of Congress to understand we are being treated unfairly. We're trying to do the right thing, and CMS literally won't tell us how to do the right thing. So I think this comes down to just be the squeaky wheel, and let's kind of keep raising this concern to members of Congress, because they will keep raising it to the agency. All right, with that, I think that's all the time we have. Thank you so much, Joanne, for sharing these insights with us and for doing the hard work of kind of creating these documents to help guide members when we don't have meaningful guidance from the agency. That is a hard thing for us to kind of pull together. But you know, it's our best attempt at something that's going to be helpful to residency programs as they navigate this going forward. All right. Well, so thank you so much. That's all the time we have. And I want to just remind members, you know, go to our website, learn about ASHP's advocacy issues, including residency funding issues. You'll see resources that Jillian was describing. You'll also see other opportunities to get involved in ASHP advocacy, including grassroots outreach and talking points on many of our other issues. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for listening to ASHP Official, the voice of pharmacists advancing healthcare. Be sure to visit ashp.org/podcast to discover more great episodes, access show notes, and download the episode transcript. If you loved the episode and want to hear more, be sure to subscribe, rate, or leave a review. Join us next time.